Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you. We just think about what we're saying and how great you are. Just how great you are. All things come through you and from you. And so we just rest and look upon you, Lord, and thank you for the greatness that you have. And so, Lord, we praise you. We praise your holy name. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent that we could be reconciled to you, that we could be in one, at oneness with you, God. We thank you for that. And I pray, God, you'll just speak to us this morning, that we could see things through your eyes, and that, Lord, you would just really show yourself strong. Let the words I speak be of the Spirit, and let each heart be open to receive of the Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 We'll look here at, start off here this morning at Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Now, it's interesting. This is be a great standalone verse just to speak on, okay, preach from, if you will. But I think it even is more powerful as we think about the context in which this is presented. And so as we're going through the book of Luke, we just didn't pick this out. We're just going through the book of Luke. We're here in chapter 10. And so we see that Jesus miraculously coming to the earth. And then we see how his ministry started. We've seen the work of the Holy Spirit in this ministry. And we see the things of how he came across, and now he's making a big impact. And the Lord has done miracles through him. And so these powerful things are happening. He fed the 5,000, and that was 5,000 men they counted. So women and children, it could have been 10,000 or plus. So now you have all this is happening. You have his disciples that he has picked, and they're surrounding him. And he had this, you know, penetrating question. He goes, "Who do you say that I am?" And, you know, and then they declared that they knew he was the Christ. And so this is a big drum roll that Jesus is moving for, establishing his ministry. And so they're looking to Christ. Then he says this. Okay, this is the point when he says this. He said to them, okay, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And what he is saying is like, okay, you know who I am, and you've seen what I've done, okay? You need to go tell folks. That's what he's saying. Okay, he's made this point, but now he's passing the baton, okay, which is what the whole New Testament basically is, that the resurrection was his ascension. He passes the baton to us, and which is fascinating. And I always think there should have been a better plan B. I mean, he passed the baton to us, and I, you know, then I have to personalize it, and I go, me? I mean, I don't know if I can run my leg of the race quite as good as you ran yours, you know. But that's not what that's not his view, you know. And even in the Gospel of John, we see, "You're going to do greater things than me." He said, "You're going to run a faster leg than I did." And I think, I don't know. Do we believe the Scriptures? Huh? Do we? That's what it says. The Scriptures tell us the Lord Jesus died in our place and we are forgiven. We say, we believe that, amen. But then he says, "You're going to do greater things than I do." I said, "Well, I don't know that piece if I believe." Well, if we don't be that piece, then what about the other piece about him dying for our sins? So you got to kind of take the whole thing. So anyway, we look at this. This is how I want to look at this, is this: he's coming, and so the disciples are around him, and so he's telling them specifically that they need to go out. He's giving them specific instructions. And in fact, when you read through the whole section, which I encourage you to do, he gives instructions at the end of chapter 9, then on through chapter 10. He's talking to them, and he's giving very specific things to those disciples that he is sending out, and they're going to come back and talk to him about it. But within this also, we see a vision of how Jesus sees the world, and so we're able to see it through his eyes, and we can understand how what he is thinking when he says that he's going to pass the baton. Because at the end, if we see at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, he says to these same people, just before he goes into heaven, leaves them there, he says, go ye throughout the whole world, make disciples. That's the last thing. So is it very consistent with what he says? The issue is trying to have us understand that he's really talking about us. He's really talking about us. And so this is the whole thing. So we're going to look at this, and what we want to do this morning, and look at this and say, what is he saying to me and you? What is he saying to me and you about the ministry he has given us? And so he's giving us insight. And in this believing world, he's seeing something about the world we don't see. We don't see. This is how Jesus sees the world, okay? The harvest is plentiful. Now, when you walk out and you go to the store and you talk to your neighbors, I mean, is that your first thought? The harvest is plentiful. Now, if you're like me, I walk out, look at my neighbors, say, you know, they never would believe. You know, that's just like, they're so far gone. You know, if Jesus spoke to them, they wouldn't believe. You know, now, I know y'all would never think that at all. But it has crossed my mind. But that's not how Jesus thinks. That's not how Jesus thinks. He looks on this world, he says the harvest is plentiful, is plentiful. Now, so when he says this, here's another piece of it we need to understand when he says this. And I think this is, I really believe this is a very important piece about the statement. What he's saying here is that he has already touched the hearts of many people. Jesus has already touched the hearts, and he wants us to go out and speak his love to them. See, what he's saying is he's gone first, and he's touched them, and he wants us to come along and communicate the message of what he's already stirred in their hearts, already stirred in their hearts. Now, so what we want to do is we want to try to be able to see the world as Jesus sees it and then cooperate with him. And that means like, well, if he says the harvest is plentiful and he has already moved and stirred in their hearts, then you think, well, we will look for an opportunity to share Christ's love. Because he's already done the work. See, all of a sudden, it looks different. Then that makes it real hard for me to go out and look at all my neighbors and say, gosh, they'll never believe. That's me doing God's work. He's already moved in touch. What he's telling me is, you speak of my love, and you're going to see my work. My work. And so it's like, okay, let me understand what my job is, and let me understand what his job is. His job is he's already gone before, and he says the harvest is plentiful, is plentiful. So if the harvest is plentiful, he says you need to pray for workers, so I need some workers out in the harvest. So who are the workers in the harvest? I'm concentrating on this one. Who are the workers in the harvest? Us. Who is the worker in the harvest in my neighborhood? Oh, man. And I just dropped the baton. I mean, it's like, no, this is, they're not going to believe. He said, I passed the baton. You're going to do greater things than me. And I go, watch me. Not happening. See, it's like God says, no, look. So he's helping us to have a spiritual view of what's happening, and what we're doing, we're seeing the world like Jesus sees, and then we're cooperating with him. You know, somebody says, we're blazing a new trail into a new area. No, you're following Jesus into an area that he has already gone to. I cannot tell you the number of times that I've heard personally. I'll give you one specific that I know personally through his whole ministry. Went into a tribe, felt like the Lord told him to go there. Went into a tribe that was unreached, didn't know English, didn't have the written word or anything, and he felt God called he and his wife there. And she agreed. I just want you to know, she agreed, this is where God called. And he's like, well, okay. And they went into this tribe, and anyway, and they had a great ministry there, and they were able to bring doctors, teach them to read, wrote their own language, translated the Bible. Good grief. Talk about a time, you know, take time. And then they shared the gospel, and a multitude of these people came to know Christ. And once they learned the language, and once they learned, came to know Christ, they found out something very interesting. There were five men who felt that there was a creator God, and this creator, this is in this tribe, this unreached tribe, and they felt this creator God wanted to reveal him to them. And they prayed, in their pagan way, I guess, that God would show them who he was. What happened? Jesus went into this tribe, and he touched five men. And then here comes this missionary and his wife, and goes and explains the details of the gospel. And the first ones to come to know Christ are these five. Who did the work? Who did the hard work? He said, my gosh, you know, we was there 5 years. We learned the language and taught them how to read and write, and then we translated the Bible, and then they finally said, I mean, that's a lot of work, you know. No, that wasn't the work. The work was when Jesus went in and moved in and touched those people beforehand, then spoke to the missionary couple and had them move to go. And they both, this couple, will both tell you that God called them to that tribe. And they told me what tribe. I can't even pronounce the name. But do you see what I'm saying? So here, this is a picture. This is a picture of what God is telling the disciples. They're looking at it and having this crowd of people. And he says, listen, fields, it's plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. Just need somebody to gather it. I've already done the work. It has grown up and it's ripe. I've already done the work. I need some laborers. And what do they do? They'll tell of the Lord Jesus Christ that they are forgiven and they have a home in heaven. That's the message. And you know, folks around here, you don't even have to teach them to read and write. You know? And you don't have to translate the Bible so they can understand. You know? So we're just years and years ahead of going into a tribe. So we have the resources. But again, what's the mindset? No, God has already gone before us. Jesus has already gone before us. Think of your own situation. Something happened. Something stirred. Then someone or something shared the truth. And you responded. See, Jesus did the work first. And then somebody came along and filled in the information. And that's the way God works. That's the way that God works. He doesn't have angels to fill in the information. He has his people to fill in the information. That's the way he does it. Like I said, I pass the baton. And that's what he's saying here. Now, he's still on earth, but before he goes in heaven, he tells them the same thing. So it's like, so what's important for us, and I think huge for us, oh gosh, I don't know if I can do this, I don't know how I can work around this, and this is too big. I think the important thing for us is just the mindset. No, Jesus has already gone ahead. All right, he's already gone ahead. Now I'm going to speak the word, and we'll see who he touched. See, oh man, I got to convince somebody. I got to back them in the corner. I got to give them the gospel. I have to communicate this stuff. I have to explain everything under the sun. No. What you have to do, God has gone before you. Jesus has gone before you. And you share the love of Christ, forgiveness, and eternal home. And then what you see, you'll see people who God has touched respond. I mean, that's kind of encouraging, isn't it? So we don't have to be so be in such turmoil about, oh my God, I gotta share the gospel with all these people don't believe and they don't hate me, but if I share the gospel, they will hate me. You know, that's encouraging, isn't it? And then you go over that, won't you come with me and be miserable with me
And it's like, no. See, so again, it's very important, I think, for the mindset as we look at something. Amen? It helps our thinking as we go into it. Now, so we've seen this happen in our own lives. We've seen this happen in our own lives. Now, Jesus is good in giving us all the information, okay? I mean, he lets us know that it's like there will be a little opposition, so he wants us to be aware of it and don't get upset, okay? And he tells us in the next verse, look at Luke 10:3. He goes, Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Okay, that's great. You know, but that's what he says. I know what's going on here. I'm sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves. Well, if you took that verse alone, it's like, we're done. I mean, we're done. This is like suicide mission number one. We're done. But not in context. You're not done because Jesus went in front of you. See, therefore, that's why it's important to hear Jesus. I say, he's already gone there. So in the midst of the wolves, we come in and as lambs, because we're sharing. What are we sharing? Get your gun and fight, you know? No, we're sharing peace, love, and forgiveness. See, we're like a lamb going to war. Peace, love, and forgiveness, all right? He said, but I've taken care of this stuff. See, I went before you. So, but he's telling us, don't be surprised at the opposition, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So that's the point. So we can see this, and we can see this picture and understand that Jesus has gone before us, and we can see that he wants us to see that he's gone before us and that we want to come after him. And then with confidence, because of him, we want to do what he says and share the love of Christ. Amen? Now, to confirm all these verses... We go to the next verse, okay? Now, this verse is really a foundational verse for us as a church. If you look, we have anything we put out on small groups and everything, this verse shows up. This is a foundational verse for us as a church. But let's look at it here in context, okay? He's told you, fields are white for harvest, all right? I just told you, I've gone before you. Go into that harvest, share the word. I've already touched people. Now, he tells us how to do it. Tells us how to do it. So you step in a situation, you step into a house, you step into wherever you're going, and so he gives us clear indication that what we understand, now what do we understand? That God has already touched people. He's already touched people. We don't have to convince anybody. He's already touched people, and he's already opened their hearts to receive his word. He just wants us to speak his word so they can embrace it and understand it. Amen? Now, this verse tells us how to do that. Jesus said to them, he continued talking, whatever house you, now he's told them to go, okay? You've seen all this stuff, now go. He goes, whatever house you enter, first say, give me dinner. First say, I'm taking up an offering. You know, that is a long time, you know, No, when you enter house, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. That's always, it's all in context with the harvest. All in context. So the greeting is peace to this house. And so what is it? It's Jesus' peace. It's what he's already been talking about. It's already what he's communicating. Now, think about what is peace. Say this country is warring against this country, and so they have peace. And so they get along. You know, they reconcile, they get along. That's peace. So he says, you issue peace. Who are we issuing peace? People, we have peace with whom? God. we step in, say, peace. You have peace with God. I'm reconciling you with God. What I'm going to say to you, it reconciles you to God. There's going to be peace. You and God are going to come together and have a relationship because of what I have to say. Now, he summarized, it's peace. So you have to be together and think together to have peace. Amen? So there has to be a connection to have peace. So what he says here, when you have this grief, say, peace to this house is an offer to accept the peace and eternal life that Jesus has to offer. This is chapter 10. What have we been talking about for the 10 chapters? He's been saying, yeah, okay, you're the Messiah. Wow, you've fed 5,000. Wow, you're raising the dead. Wow, you're like the coolest guy I've ever seen, you know? And he said, and so he is communicating this message of reconciliation and peace. And so he says, now the harvest is plentiful. Go tell them about it. I love you, that there's peace, there's reconciliation. But it's summarized in this word peace, all right, of what they understood at the time. So say, Agrippa, peace to this house, offer them peace and eternal life that Jesus has to offer. Now we have the full message, so our peace is more complete, all right, that we understand what to say. So we go in and we say, speak peace. So we can put it today and say, Jesus loves you. Well, what about Jesus loves you? Amen. You have a home in heaven. Your sins are forgiven. That's peace. That's peace. Now, here's the other piece of that. And if a son of peace is there, you just spoke peace. Well, if there's a son of that peace, well, how do you know? You don't know that, you know? He didn't say that, but he said, if there is. So you have to speak it to know if there is. He's not, I said, why don't you tell me first? If you tell me first, then I'll go say, peace. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And so we have here the term son of peace. Now what this is, think of it, what does that mean, son of peace? Well, first of all, what does son mean? It's a relationship. It's like son of peace. What if you walk somebody and say, son? He says, you ain't my daddy. You know what you're talking about? Says, no, you're speaking relationship. So you're speaking, when you go in, you're speaking relationship. And said, if a son of peace, so if there's a, who's the son of peace? So who is the father? God. So if there is one whom God has touched, there is one whose heart has already been touched. And he is one that God's touched, and therefore God's working a relationship with him. And if that son of peace is there, your words will rest on him. God prepared already, and if that peace is there, you speak, it'll rest on him. It means he will receive it. And so that means God has already touched him. And how you know God's already touched him? Because you speak peace to him, and he responds. Does he respond because you are so brilliant? Or because you are so charismatic? Or because you have all the answers? No, he responds because God has already touched him. Amen? That's amazing. It's amazing when you look at that. And so then what we have here, sons and daughters of peace, sons and daughters of peace are the plentiful harvest. That's the plentiful harvest. He's looking. He says, there's all these sons and daughters of peace. It's a plentiful harvest. I need workers that somebody will go out there and say, peace. Amen? Are y'all up for a story? I guess. I'm going to tell you. I just think this is so good. Anyway, and this is my own, you know, criticism. But it tells you how God works and how slow we are to get on board. Years ago, gosh, it had to be 30 years ago. I don't know how long. I was working for the government, and we had to fly out to Denver, and they'd have these big projects, and you go in, and they have all these companies that have their smart guys together. The government have all their smart guys together, and they have these big meetings, and, you know, they'd go all day. Then you come back, but you have to do that like once a month. So we went to Denver. So I flew into Denver, had this meeting, so all day, I'm give out. Go to the airport, snows, just a blizzard, so you can't get out. So I don't get out till like, you know, it's like 1 in the morning. I'm exhausted. I'm just exhausted. So I get on the plane, and I had a habit of making long trip, and I just read my Bible. Okay, just way to, I would just do that. I always did it. It was a discipline, I guess, I had. So I finally got on the plane. I sat back in the seat, and I just relaxed, and I opened the Bible. And this guy walks in, and I still remember his name. His name was Hans Piles. Hans Piles. He walks in and says, "Oh, I have the seat. How are you doing?" And it's like, "What? Where are you coming from? I mean, I don't want to talk to you. I don't, you know, I don't know why you're so happy, but I'm not. You know, I just couldn't believe it. Just Mr. Bubbles." And he put his bags over the compartment, reached over and grabbed my Bible and pulled it up. He goes, "What's this?" Like that. I reached up, jerked my Bible back, and I said, "It's my Bible." You know, I didn't say leave it alone, but my message was, "Don't touch my Bible again." All right, it's my Bible. So I said, he sits down. "What does it say?" And I'm going, "What are you talking about? I just want to be alone and quiet. What are you doing? Well, tell me, why are you reading it?" You know, I didn't say none of your business, but it was like, gosh, just let me be alone with Jesus, you know? And then he went on. And every time I would say something, he had a greater question, a different question. All the way from Denver here, he never shut up, asking one question after another, one question after another. And we get off the plane. I am just give out. My mentally just drained. I'm walking out, carrying my Bible. You know, he comes up, hugs me. He said, "I am so happy I could talk to you. This has been a blessing to me." And he walks off. See, that's my method of evangelism. It's like God could have said, "Wallace, talk to Hans." And they ain't going to work. Ain't gonna work. We'll just have Hans talk to Wallace, okay? And it's like, oh my God. But that is what I'm saying is a picture. God is telling us, be aware of what's happening around you because I've already touched people. See? And even sometimes when we're not cooperating, he has touched people, you know. And if Hans is in heaven, if I meet Hans in heaven, it will be no fault of my own. It will be not, you know. It's got, in fact, somebody else will have to get the credit for that. I mean, there's just no way. But it's a good example. Now, that's a true story. I'm not making that up. That is a true story. So the whole thing of it is we have to realize that God has gone before us and touched people. And the biggest thing we need to be is alert. Alert. And that's the reason he says, pray for workers. Pray for workers. So that's the situation. And then, do you think Hans Piles was a son of peace? Yeah, he's the son of peace. He really was. And I must have been the only guy on the plane that had any clue, or he'd had him talk to somebody else. I know, but it was just, you know, I can see God talking to Gabriel. "I don't know what we're going to do. All we got's Wallace. We're just going to have to use him. Man." Okay, and so anyway, it worked out. So here you have the whole situation. And God said, harvest is plentiful. Now I'm looking forward to seeing Hans in heaven. But now, here's something else that is fascinating, and we don't realize about ourselves, and we really don't realize about ourselves, is that when we go and we speak forth truth, that God uses that just like he himself was speaking it. I mean, now, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Yeah, I mean, really, that when you go and share the word, it's just like God himself spoke it. And he wants us to understand that, again, to give us confidence that God's gone before us. Now, say the words, but I'm going to use you just like I spoke it myself. look. And this is where God's given us commission to go into his harvest. But Jesus picked us, he lives within us, and he'll speak through us. And this is a tough one. When we show up, Jesus shows up. See? Me and Hans. Jesus showed up, you know? I mean, in spite of me, Jesus showed up. In spite of me. Now, look at Luke 10:16. Again, this is just a flow here, 10:16. And he's talking to the disciples. He's talking to you. The one who hears you hears me. What did you do? You just walked in and you said, peace. And if the son of peace, son or daughter of peace is there, your peace will rest on him or her. So the one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. The one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. If they reject you, they reject Christ and they reject God. Meaning that if you speak and they accept you, they accept Christ and they accept God. What did you do? Spoke. God went before, prepared, you just spoke. I mean, then the whole context changes. The whole context of this changes. Well, I don't know who I want to talk to. And gosh, what you can do is just take a plane to Denver, you know, and Hans will show up. You know, I mean, it's just wherever you are at the time. Let God take care of those situations. Now, so we see this in our own lives. And so again, how God with us, he shared the truth with us. So here's a point we need to think about, that we need to think about what our human responsibility is, to share Christ. Again, Jesus loves us. We are forgiven. You have a home in heaven, all right? The fundamental things, because that's the things they don't have to understand. But at the same time, we are understanding that God does the divine work. So we are paying attention. We are paying attention. Because if you speak and your peace rests on him, if he's a son or daughter, your peace rested on him. Okay, the peace rested on him. And you're paying attention to what's going on here. But Jesus has already done the work. Now, look at Luke 10:22. And again, this is how Jesus has chosen to work. All these things have been handed over to me by my Father. So what is Jesus saying? This is what God has given me. This ministry, who I am, and the words I speak. All these things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Or who the Father is except the Son. So you got the God the Father and God the Son. Nobody knows who the Son is except the Father. Nobody knows who the Father is except the Son. I mean, this is a close, tight little group here. That's the only way that any truth. The Father knows the Son. The Son knows the Father. And who gets to be a part of this little group? And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Why are these people coming to know the Lord? God chose to reveal them. See? But yet, we have to speak. And so no one knows the Father, no one knows the Son, except the Son and the Father, and those he chooses to reveal. So what, when we know, he's chosen to reveal it to us. And so he is telling us, we know, and he goes before us, and we are the ones who know who God is. They don't know who God is, who God went before, and he revealed that God is great creator, there's a God moving, and they have a sense of spiritual need or whatever, but they don't know the Son, they don't know the Father, okay? And he's giving it upon us who do know him to share, because we know him because he chose us. And then we share, and then they come to know him because he also chose them. Amen? See, it puts a context in this thing. So we go, there's a real confidence, and so we're able to look at things and understand. We're going to find out, where's God working? Have you ever thought about, where is God working? I've done that. Where is God working? What is God? It's go, just share my love, and you'll see where he's working. That's the thing. In a real succinct way, the Gospel of John shares this. John 10:27. And I think this is talking to unbelievers. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay? There it is. So when we open our mouth, Jesus is using us to speak to the one Jesus has already prepared to listen. Y'all get that? When we open our mouth, Jesus is using us to speak to the one Jesus has already prepared to listen. And in real tough cases, when we won't say anything, he'll send us Hans Pyle. What you reading? Who's it at? What'd Jesus do? Why do you have to die? Oh, gosh. See, he said, sometimes he'll just have to work it out, pull it out of, but she's trying to get it done. We should be more cooperative. So here we are. Harvest is plentiful. God's done his job, so we do our job. Foundational. Share John 3:16 and see who listens. Where is that? We got to convince them. No, just see who listens. Who's listening? Who's listening? And watch out for those people. Oh, that's nuts. You're nuts. I don't believe anything about that. And then they come back around and say, what'd you say? So you don't know. You know. What are you talking about? They're listening. Then you share. And again, you know what to share. John 3:16. If they don't grasp that, they're not going to grasp anything else. So you keep bouncing back to that. Amen? So the harvest is plentiful. Jesus has done all the work. And so we share. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, have eternal life. Hans Pyle goes, who is Jesus? And then pulled every syllable out of my mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're in a, isn't this fun? It's like, okay, we're watching this. You speak the words that God so loves the world, and then you just watch. We'll see what God's doing. We'll see what he's doing. See, we take on too much. Like, we're going to convince somebody. See? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we give you all things. And you have, you're showing us through your word. You're giving us understanding. And Lord, all things come from you. Our anxiety, Lord, you clearly tell us not to be anxious. You clearly tell us not to worry. You clearly tell us to put all things at your feet. You clearly tell us to come before you. So, Lord, we just look at you, trust in you, and praise you, and we're going to speak forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.